Whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow. We get the honor of hearing from Jeremy. What's really cool is the series, Awakened Unto Righteousness, hasn't stopped. It's just going to be supplemented. So I am excited. So, Jeremy, come on and take over. I think you're already live, aren't you?
Yep.
Yep.
Hey, guys. Wow. I got the woohoo. Surely it's not because it's not a black t-shirt in it. It's actually a button-up. It's black, though. Man, I'm excited. Great words this morning. Amen. Going to get all the tech working. Let's make sure it's all there. So, man, I don't even know where to begin. I was thinking about this team of people we have at this church. And when I say that, I think most people immediately go to thinking about the staff and the worship team, you know, things like that. But when I say that, I think about this team. Yep. Just everybody that's here. Yeah. One of the things that God has kind of put in me is to be able to see people and their piece in the puzzle, and they're part of the picture. And so I was getting so excited. No. I was just getting so excited thinking about all of you and the role that you play and the part that you play, and hoping and praying that we really wake up to righteousness and recognize that we are not limited the way we think we are. We've got to stop accepting this lie. It is no secret. And by the way, I'm not going to have anything on the screen, so you don't have to keep looking at any point. Thinking, oh, something's wrong. Same for the guys in the back. Nothing's wrong. But it's no secret that the church has been dysfunctional for a while. I think that one of the reasons for that is that we, the body, everyone, we've believed this lie. And the enemy has amplified this lie. It's created a personality-driven church around a few people doing the work of the ministry. And we talk about this a lot. It's called the priesthood of the believer. It's one of our core values. But, you know, what the work of the ministry is basically just being Jesus to those around us, right? So here's the general lie is we're not smart enough. We're not holy enough. We're not spiritual enough. We're not mature enough. We're not enough for God to use us. We all recognize our flaws. We see them in some people. And I'm not talking about what we see like in others, but in ourselves, it's even greater. We think we failed. And in fact, I think some of the biggest, challenges are those who've served in ministry in some capacity and have failed in some that they see in their eyes. I've failed somewhere. And they feel like for some reason you get one chance. And now all of a sudden, since you failed, you're out. And that is one of the largest deceptions, because that person is experienced. That person has been in a process with the Lord, and they're kind of like a professor who's quit teaching. And so that's sad, but we're going to stop that today. Amen. Yes. We've heard this a lot. So what's going to be different about today is we're going to believe it. All right. The amplification of this lie, what the enemy's done to amplify it, is there have been a few men and women who've either discovered the truth that their self-evaluation is worthless and God's valuation based on the price that he paid for us is what matters. Still others, they've just been elevated by a deceived populace looking to feel better about themselves, knowing they're doing something good to contribute. Now, we hope it's the first thing, right? That those people are free. But so much of the church has been that. We build up those who have gifts and talents and are appealing to us in some way. Well, this is going to end today. Amen? So in fellowship with one another, one of the things we do, we discuss our biblical heroes from time to time. We talk about their imperfections, right? This is our justification. that we think, we go, well, man, look at David, look at Moses, look at Paul. I mean, all these guys had shortcomings, and I mean, you know, we'll speak to another person. I mean, you, have you done worse than Paul? Well, I mean, Robert has, but have, you know, but we just go through that process and we say, have, you know, you're not as bad as that. You know, look at all the things he did. But what I find interesting about that is we're saying that to another person. We don't often say, did I do worse than Paul? Yeah. So we're lifting up others, which is good. But we say this, that, you know, God can use anybody. Well, there's a problem with that statement. It's very passive. God can use anybody. Well, yeah, God can do anything he wants. That's obvious. Right?
Yeah.
And anybody. I mean, sure, he used a donkey. He can use anybody. But the problem with that statement, like I said, it's passive. We're going to change it. God will use everybody. You see the difference there? See, God can use anybody, gives me an out, gives me a space to go, well, not me, I mean, look at me. But yeah, Gretchen, totally, God can use you. You know, I mean, that's easy to do, but here's the deal. He will use everybody. Now, honestly, how many of you believe that right now? I mean, it's good. It's good, but we, in order to prove belief, what do? We usually have to, like, live it out, right? Have some action. When we take this mindset that God will use everybody, it really adjusts our perspective. Instead of seeing a few people for who they could be, we see everyone for who they will be and who they are. And we as an entire body, not just leaders and volunteers, we as an entire body need to adjust this way of thinking. So instead of wondering if we are going to be used by God, we make ourselves ready and available because we are present tense being used by God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll prove it in a minute. Not even a minute. Grab your Bible. That's right. Nothing on the screen. If you don't have a Bible in front of you, then that's not good. There should be. But if you don't, you can grab your phone and download an app. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I've got some scripture in here that it's going to be hard for me not to get excited about, so I'm going to try to contain myself. Hey, it's like a firecracker though, right? If you try to contain it too long, it just explodes. So we'll see how that goes. Might get messy. Paul writing to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he says this, do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. He's speaking to the whole city of Corinth. Ipso facto, he's speaking to us. It is evident here the truth that we are actively and always being currently used to minister truth to mankind, if only through our reflection of the truth that's written on our heart. If that was the only thing. So we've established it, right? We're good with it. No arguments. Good deal. You don't want to argue with me. It's supernatural. I just don't run out of breath. So here's the thing about this. We can all believe it, but guess what? Observers to situations, they really have no part. Let's think about this. We've been conditioned to believe that simply agreeing is participating. Here's an example of how we do this. This might get a little melodramatic, so be careful. A lot of us will sit down this fall, every Saturday and Sunday, watch a story unfold on the green gridiron of battle. Two teams at war for this at least one day, if not all eternity. As the battle ensues, momentum shifts, scars are made, a mixture of grass green and blood red form on the palette of solid base colors of our warriors' ceremonial garb. as one final shrill of the whistle calls, the end of the day, a victor has been decided. And on that glorious of occasions, we rise as one, spilling the thin fried potato drippings from our loins to the ground and cry out, "We won! Victory is ours!" You didn't do jack. Nothing. The most you may have done is bought a ticket to a game, wore a jersey, bought a hat, watched the TV, bought the stuff from the commercials. But you did not win. You watched someone else win. Stop watching people win in church. Amen? It is awesome. We are excited when people win. But don't just watch it. Do it. It is so easy. It is so easy to do this. It really is. Do we? I'll get there.
Shake it up.
We are in the middle of a revolution. Okay? But here's the thing. If you just watch a revolution, if everybody watched one, would there be one? Right? I mean, it takes people to be a part of the revolution. And so we easily sit down and go, "Oh yeah, man, I believe it. You know, shake it up. Let's do this. Yeah." But we got to do it. And I mean we, because I can't. I mean, I can do my little part, but it's just a part. In fact, if you just watch a revolution, you're just watching a few crazy people. That's really it. Just fanatics. But when the fanatics become the majority, they're not fanatics, they're not extremists. They're heroes. They are who they are. To have a revolution, we have to take action. You know, I think we often, you know, we don't feel qualified, right? We talked about it before. We don't feel qualified to be a part, at least an active part of the army of God. I mean, we're good being here, but being an active part, well, I'm not qualified. I didn't go to Bible school. And you know, even apart from that, by now, most of you know that kind of none of us went to Bible school. But, you know, you think, well, you know, Pastor Steve, I mean, he gets up there, he speaks, is so blessed to hear him, is awesome. And Gavin and the band and Jeremy, they just play and sound great, blah, blah, blah. And so we take all of that and go, well, I can't do that. Well, thank you, because if you could, I'd have to go somewhere else. And I like it here. We're doing our part, okay? Let's look at a natural army for an example. Every soldier that enlists goes through the exact same basic training and receives the exact same core values at the outset of their enlistment, right? Except for Marines, who are awesome, Robert. Okay. It's a fictional army for a second here. But they go through this process. They have the same core values, right? 6 weeks or whatever amount of time it is. They are trained. They're mentored. They receive tools and weapons. They're showed how to use them by instructors. And it's out of that basic training that all future training flows. It's out of that basic training that the victories are won. They're on the same page. They're unified. There's a fly. I didn't get him, so. The same is true in God's army. Upon acceptance of Christ, we receive basic training in the form of conviction. When we receive him, and then all of a sudden we're just like, man, there's a quickening. We know what's up. We receive tools and weapons in the form of prayer and communion. We're trained how to use these weapons by the Holy Spirit living inside of us. The only qualification to be in this army is enlistment. That's it. You enlist and you're in. When you think about these battles, we're trained to, trained by Hollywood, we see all these stories. And so often when I see our team here, I see the battle that we're in, and it often takes form of a medieval clash. I don't know why, but, and most of those stories we watch, whether it be Lord of the Rings or Lord of the Rings 2 and The Hobbit, any one of those 9 movies, what we see is the heroes rising up, right? And the thing about that is that we tend to focus on the heroes, but let's process this for a second. If you take, just pick any movie you want outside of Rambo, because he was the only guy, but any movie you want, where this is happening, what happens if the army's gone? I mean, they have a support in the whole of the army, right? So you've got this group of people in Lord of the Rings, but they're fighting hundreds of thousands of the enemy. The seven of them aren't fighting the battle. I mean, they're in it, but they would lose without the rest of the army. And we're just seeing the story of those people. But over here is a story that's not being told on screen. And they're fighting their own battle. You know, and I think we accept the idea that God is with us. Nobody says, no, I don't believe that. I mean, we all believe he's with us. And especially in a multitude like this, he's there in our midst. He's a part of everything. But I think sometimes we forget when we're by ourselves, he's with us. So sometimes in those wars, you'll see these big epic battles. It'll break off until, you know, the two main characters duking it out. Well, that plays itself out a bunch of times on the battlefield. There's individual battles. And each one of you fight an individual battle, or at least have the opportunity to. And so there's confidence when you have all these people around you and you're thinking, man, you know, I can just kind of swing my sword every once in a while and be a part of the fight. But when it becomes you and the enemy, it's when it gets real, right? When we recognize that God is with us there too. I mean, like really realize it. I mean, we know it, but would you be afraid at all if God was here in a physical manifest form and someone's trying to pick on you? It'd be like your dad being next to you when some bully's trying to pick on you. You don't care. In fact, you bow up, right? I mean, you, all of a sudden dad's there like, yeah, and another thing. Dad's gone, you don't do that. Well, dad's with us all the time. So when the enemy's attacking you at an individual level, bow up. Own it. Because he's there. And his whole goal is to see you succeed. And not be destroyed. That's what I mean, I can't do that for my own kids. I can be close to that, you know, but there's some big dudes out there. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Let me know when you are there. With a whoop whoop. That's fun. Chapter 4, verse 4. Now I'm going to read through 16 because this is just really stinking good. There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all of you. But to each one of us, circle, underline, highlight, bold, share, whatever you do, each one of us, that's important. Verse 7, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? And he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some. Now let's go back to verse 7. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And then he talks about some stuff. And then he goes into, now he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. This is the why, by the way, at verse 13. So we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Sounds like war. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, all of us, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, go back to the pastors, prophets, teachers, the equipping of the saints, what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So he gave these gifts and divided them up amongst all of us for the edifying of the body in love, for the perfection, right? Christ at the head and the rest of us. Actions required, right? We talked about that. I mean, it's just like freedom. My dogs have crates that we stick them in when we cook food, for obvious reasons. If I open the door to the dogs' crates and they stay in them, they're not free. They have the potential for freedom. I'm not holding them in there, but they're there. So they're not free. They're still bound. If we're bound and our bindings are removed, but we don't move, we're still in bondage. So believing the truth is the step towards action. I believe the truth. I believe that I am free and that the Son has set me free. So I'm free indeed. And then I step away from the bonds. And now they're back there. Those failures in our life, those things that we're not qualified to do because we're not smart enough, we're not strong enough, we're not spiritual enough, we're not great enough, those are bindings that we're free from. So we step away from them and we don't return to them. We, if anything, look back and go, man, that stunk. Glad that's gone. You see, the fivefold ministry gifts, when we talk about evangelist, prophet, apostle, pastor, and teacher, they really only have one requirement in Scripture. Because a lot of times we're sitting there going, well, you got to be a really awesome person to be able to do that. Scripturally speaking, there's one requirement. Action. You can go to school to be a teacher and get your teaching certificate, but if you never teach, you're not a teacher. It requires action. To build, or to be a builder, you have to build. To be a dancer or a person who does jigs, you have to dance or do a jig. Nope. I just got to tell you, it was really awkward doing a jig all over Ireland. I would tell Laura, I'm like, okay, hurry, hurry. No one's looking, quick. Oh, they're looking, wait. There it is. Pastors are only pastors if they pastor. Prophets if they prophesy. Evangelists if they evangel. Let's go with that. I spell checked it, it's fine. So basically what that's saying is all we have to do to be a part of the fivefold ministry is just act in it. Years ago, for me years ago means 2 years ago, Pastor Steve and Gretchen and I were talking and I was thinking about, we were just talking about vision in the church, and I said, you know, churches are known for things. They're known for their kids department. They're known for their worship department. They're known for the pastor. They're known for things. And I said, you know what? I've always wanted to be a part of a church that's known for being full of pastors. And what I mean by that is, I don't mean pastors in the fivefold ministry sense. I mean people who, where everyone is a minister, where a person comes here and they want to get a meeting with the pastor because they are in distress or whatever, that could be the person to their right or their left. Yeah. And that we flow in that, because that's the power of exponential growth. And I didn't put this in here, but in Deuteronomy chapter 32, it talks about that when God's on your side in a war, that one man causes 1,000 to run and two cause 10,000 to run, right? We've heard this. What happens when, you know, this group in our second service, we've got 400 or 500 adults. What happens when we are all ministering? I can't do that math. Now, granted, I'm very bad at math, but I can't even come close to doing that. And so we've just got to accept that we've already realized, right? We've stopped believing the lie. We know now that we're qualified. We know that God's called us. And let's just look at a couple of these things, because if you don't believe it, we're going to go here. I think this might push you over the edge. See, we're God's kids, right? And this isn't some sorta, kinda, you know, he likes this. No, we're his kids. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, what are we? Joint heirs. Heirs of God with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. That's part one. We've got several little parts here. We're brothers and sisters of Christ. In Christ, with Christ, God is our dad. But what did Jesus say? John chapter 14, verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, I got King James for a second. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father.
Yeah.
That's just amazing. Just dwell on that for a second. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do.
Amen.
That the Father may be glorified in the Son. He's not doing it for you. We're doing it for the glory of God. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. There's no ambiguity there. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. That's good truth right there, church. Really good truth. If you have any doubt that we're called to service or that our qualifications are in question, let's just read one more. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. You once were lost but now you're found. Amen?
Yes.
We need to start looking at our time in fellowship, whether it's here or a Friday night dinner or whatever we're doing, as an opportunity to give out. And here's the thing. Some of you maybe have come and you've been wounded by church. You don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying you got to give all your time and just load yourself down and burn yourself out. You can't burn yourself out with doing what God's telling you to do. Okay? You can't do that. If you've burnt yourself out, it's because a man has put a pressure on you to accomplish something, or you've put pressure on yourself to accomplish something. Doing what God's got you doing is just resting in him. So you won't burn out in that. So let me just make it really clear. If you're burning out, you're out of his will. So stop and talk to him. We just got back from Ireland, as you know. We had a great time taking in the culture. But we didn't go there to eat. I mean, we went there and we ate while we were there, but that wasn't the point of our trip. And it's a good thing too, right? I was so glad just to make my own stuff when I got back. But that's the whole thing. We've made eating the point to come to church. And that's not the point to life. Breathing isn't the point to life. It's a requirement for life, but it's not the point. Eating is a requirement for life, but it's not the point.
Yeah. Good.
It's really the same with our fellowship with one another. You're going to be fed. When you go to feed somebody, you're going to be fed. It's just going to happen. If there's five of us in a room, and I'm there with the intent to feed people, and the other five are too, guess what? Four people are trying to feed me now, not just one. If I'm just feeding myself, I'm just going to do whatever I'm going to do. But when I've got four people trying to feed me, I'm going to be stuffed. So we just got to all do our part in that. I have four people feeding me a lot. Gavin, you guys can come up. When we truly wake up to who we are, that truth, we don't have to look for an opportunity to give out. It's everywhere. We don't have to think about it. It just happens naturally. Because we're not afraid in those one-on-one situations anymore, because we understand God's right there and a part of us, we just act naturally. We just simply act. If someone says, man, I'm struggling with this or I'm hurting here, you don't think, I wonder if I should pray. Now I'll submit a prayer request and we'll let the real people pray. No, just pray.
Yeah.
Submit the prayer request because it's good. We want to pray too, but just pray right then. Be a part. Be active in their life. It's like breathing. How many of you guys sit down and take time to strategize breathing? Oh, I've got to really figure out a more efficient way to breathe. We don't do that. We just breathe. And we talk about it all the time, right? We minister out of what is given to us, what's sown to us. We breathe in and we exhale. God's everywhere. You're breathing God in all the time. When you exhale, you're breathing God out. Just know that. I mean, all this is just knowing. Look at your feet. Look at your hands. There are no chains there. Walk away. You don't have to stay. They're gone. Look at the walls around you. They're gone. There's no walls. You're out in the open. The only thing the enemy can do is lie. That's his only weapon. So you were foolish to think he's not going to lie to you. Of course he is. Get off the bench. Get in the fight. So when that time comes and you're shouting, we win, victory is ours, you can really mean it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Stand up. Father, we love you so much. And we just yield to your heart, your mind. We want to do what you would have us to do and be who you'd have us to be. And I pray for this body right here, Lord, that each one of us would all recognize that we are qualified because we are your heirs. That we are equipped because we have received you in our heart. That we are ready for this fight. That we have the basic skills. And sure, Lord, as we go along the way, we'll gain more skills. And that just makes us more effective. That's great. But at the end of the day, you're the one that's sitting right next to us. Living inside of us, Lord. We thank you for your mercy and grace, for your name upon us. We worship you with everything we are. Give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen, amen, amen. The ministry team can come.
This is Pastor Steve, and on behalf of my wife, Stacy, and our leadership here at Grace Church, we wanted to say thank you so much for listening today. Always remember that man is too great of a creation to be satisfied by anything but God. And so when we take in His Word by the Spirit, it's as natural for us as our lungs taking in air. I also want to make mention, feel free to go to our website, gracechurchok.com. You can access more messages there, either through audio or also through video. God bless you, and thank you again for listening.